Do say it every Mother's Day, every Father's Day, every family day. The reality is that the image of a perfect heavenly parent is easy for some people to associate with. It is more difficult for others to associate with because of human experiences. And I want to say, praise the Lord, that regardless of the human experiences that we have had, we have a perfect heavenly parent, a perfect heavenly Father, whose relationship with the Son is the perfect example for us that we've been invited into. Amen? And so as difficult as it may be at times, and surely it is, for some people to associate with God as a father, I think sometimes by adding an adjective, we can help to separate him from bad experiences, recognizing that God is perfect father. And for those who have an easy association, praise the Lord. But even those good associations, I would caution, are imperfect, because God as our father is completely loving in the sense that he is completely willing to make that agape sacrifice. That's the kind of love that he shows. Today we're going to go to Psalm 103, part of Psalm 103. As I say, we're part of our worship series and working this into the series, as I'm going to refer to verses 6 to 14 of Psalm 103. And before I get there, I'll give you, by way of illustration, a few Canadian, or a little bit of Canadian statistic, some statistics from StatCan, that since 2006 in Canada, the average Canadian family has one child or less per family. What are the reasons for that? According to government studies, Canadian government studies, the factors include at least these three things. Why it is that the average Canadian family has less than one child or less than one child per family. By the way, I mean, you can do the math. It's hard to grow a country that way. But there are some factors that are going to mitigate that, which include people moving into, new Canadians coming into Canada. But here are reasons that are given according to studies why this is so. Number one, because there is an increase in single-parent families. There are more families that break up than used to be the case. And then there are many cases when a parent has always been single. The second reason is that there is an increase, on the other hand, in the number of two-parent incomes. And where there are two-parent incomes, often there is not a family, or family comes later, or there are fewer children. Canada has one of the highest percentages in the world of two-parent incomes. Thirdly, and related to the second one, is that mothers generally are having children later in life, predominantly because of careers. Society has changed, as many of you know. It doesn't take too much to see that or to recognize that. We can well imagine that with a steady number of marriages breaking up than used to be the case, with a substantial number of parents working, with a substantial number of both men and women pursuing work careers, there are challenges to good family health, period. And there would be anyway. And I give you those illustrations not to make any particularly moral points, except to say that with the changing landscape of the family, there are many challenges to good family health. Whether you're a father or a mother or a grandparent or a child today or an aunt or an uncle, or any of the above, or combinations of the above, you have been affected one way or the other. You've seen challenges that are a result of these factors of family life in Canada. Our lives are characterized by relationship. And where better, I believe, to look for a model of good relationship than the relationship of God the Father with his children. We've seen that relationship, that transparency that Jesus could have with the Father, praying at the darkest time of his life here on earth, of his earthly life. Where better to look than the perfect model of the Creator with his created? Where better to look than the perfect heavenly parent with his own? Where better to look than to God the Father with his children? And so we turn to Psalm 103. We have talked in this series, this is the third week talking on worship. We've talked about worship being about the glory of God, the manifest presence of God, and how we return that glory to God. We've talked about the holy, holy, holiness of God, remembering that you are, as a follower of Jesus, you are as a child of God, you are called holy. And you can walk in that, not in a vaunted sort of way, but of course in humility, to recognize that our holiness is because of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of Christ, the transformation that has taken place in our lives because of Jesus, that God would call us holy ones. And today it's about the love of God the Father and what we can learn, just a few takeaways from Psalm 103. So much more to learn about the Father, but in our time, these few things that we can learn from the one who loves us eternally. Psalm 103, verses 6 to 14. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. For just as a father has compassion on his children, and so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. Amen? This is the word of the Lord. Three simple takeaways from these few verses from Psalm 103 that are part of the heart and the very character of God, reminders to us of how we ought to also be behaving. And again, as we say week after week, the only way that we can do this properly is by drawing from the presence and the reality of the Holy Spirit within us, that it is through him that we derive our strength and our character and our conduct, not from our flesh and our own efforts. The first is that in our relationships, very simply, we be slow to anger. You say amen to that? As a father has compassion on his children. That is a challenging statement because for some of us, when we hear that phrase, we find it difficult to relate. We'd say, well, as a father has compassion on his children, maybe I didn't have that experience of my father being a compassionate father. There are many who would say, you know, I didn't even have the experience of a father being around very much, never mind being compassionate. Praise the Lord, we have the presence, the spiritual presence of our Heavenly Father who is compassionate to us. He has made that known and manifest through the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And I would strenuously encourage you and me that we can have, and believers need to hear this too, quite honestly, we can have an ongoing, daily, conversational, personal relationship with our Savior. Would you say amen to that? Because the truth is that while we would say, you know what, you can have a personal relationship with Jesus, For many of us, if we're pressed on that and we say, well, what does that mean for you to have a personal relationship? Does that personal relationship actually look like the personal relationship you have with other people in your life? And some of us may be challenged to respond to that and say, well, you know, it's not quite the same because I can't see God. I'm currently reading a book by Dallas Willard. I don't know if some of you probably are familiar with his name. But he's written a book, the title of which is Hearing God. And it is about having an ongoing conversational relationship with God. And I will tell you, of my most recent reads, this one has been invigorating for me. It's a little bit weighty. He's a PhD in philosophy, which of course doesn't necessarily get us all excited. So sometimes his writing sounds like that. But what he's getting across is that every day along the way, like Paul said, pray without ceasing, we can be talking to God all the time. Isn't that wonderful? That the creator of the universe, the God who has compassion upon us, wants to have that sort of a relationship that we can have ongoing dialogue so that when we come to these takeaways from Psalm 103, we would say, Lord, it's because of your example to me and our relationship that's ongoing that I can live out these characteristics that you are living out toward me. First, that we would be slow to anger. That we would be quick to listen. That we would be quick to be patient and we would be slow to anger. James wrote similarly those words in James chapter 1, verse 19. Husbands to wives, wives to husbands, parents to children, children to parents, brothers and sisters to one another. We need to be quick to listen. We need to be slow to anger. May we listen well with our ears, with our faces, with our mouths, with our minds, and with our bodies. I'm not going to unpack all of those right now, but listening is more than just hearing. Sometimes people flip those words, but I make a distinction that it's one thing for us to hear somebody. Yeah, yeah, I hear you, I hear you, I hear you. You ever hear somebody say that? Maybe those words have come out of your mouth. I hear you, I hear you. There's a difference between that hearing and that actual listening, right? Where we stop, we actually engage for the younger and younger generations, and that includes myself. Not that I'm a younger generation, I am not. But those of us who have things like these, that they are set aside, that the earplugs and buds are and headphones are removed so that we listen with our ears, we listen with our eyes, we listen with our mouths, and the way we listen with our mouths, of course, is by keeping them closed, shut. That's how we listen with our mouths. That we listen with our bodies because when we don't listen with our bodies, you can see the twitching and the movement that we're ready to give an answer that we're not necessarily wanting to listen. That's how we listen with all of ourselves. May we be in a hurry to ask good questions before we make assumptions. Isn't that good counsel for all of us? One of the ways that we don't get angry quickly is that rather than jumping to conclusions or making assumptions, we ask good questions to clarify and to make sure that we understand the truth before we make up something that perhaps is not true and react. May we never respond rashly. If we're ever in doubt about saying something heated, may we take the time to step back and formulate what we should say. And that's part of that ongoing conversation with God, that when we feel our faces flushing or our temperature rising and we're maybe about to just to lash out and say something, that ongoing conversation with God has us saying, Lord, would you please give me wisdom? Would you please give me grace? What do you want me to say? And we need to be careful to think before we speak or act, to consider what pain might I cause. It's so much better in the heat of emotion, where possible, even to say, I need some time to think about this before I respond wrongly. It's very easy, no matter whether we are parents or children or grandparents or grandchildren, it's very easy for us to talk about others and say things like, well, you know, my mom, she just yip, 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 yip. Or my husband or my wife just yada, 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 yada. I saw a bumper sticker, the back of a car the other day, which I cannot repeat. I was a little bit stunned by it, and I was not at all impressed. But the gist of it was, I am the parent of a couple of children, and sometimes they can be, and don't even use your imagination, sometimes they can be, but that's okay. I thought, wow, that's not the message I ever want to send about my kids. The message I want to send about and to my children is, I love you. Stop. Sometimes I will say to Josiah, our 16-year-old, I've said this throughout his life, I said to him, Josiah, can I tell you the one thing that I just can't stand about you? And he used to say, now he knows what the answer is, but I would say, can I just tell you the one thing I just can't stand about you? And he'd say, what? I'd say, nothing. It's a setup, right? It was a setup for me to say to him, there's nothing that I can't stand about you. I am your parent, and there's some behaviors, of course, along the way that we need to address, but nothing will ever stand in the way of my loving you. And I want my conduct and my language, my words, to reflect that with my family. Families, there are no more important people given to you by God than your family. Would you say amen? And that's in the brokenness and the pain and the anguish that exists in most families because of broken relationships that we continue to bring before the Lord, asking for restoration, knowing that He is able, but also knowing that we need to participate. And so as God is slow to anger, may we be slow to anger. And all that entails, which is so much more than what even I've said today. Secondly, that we would be abounding in loving kindness, that we would be loving and encouraging one another daily. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. You know how high the heavens are above the earth? Do you remember how fast the speed of light travels? 300,000 kilometers per second. So we can't even begin to imagine how high above the earth are the heavens. But that is, and that's the point, that is how great God's loving kindness is toward those who fear Him. Who would say amen to that? And who doesn't need that kind of love? And that's the kind of love that we need to be showing to others. Dr. Gary Chapman, many of you will know this. He's written a book called The Five Love Languages. I'm currently spending time with a couple who are to be married this summer. And the one little gift that I give to couples is I purchase a copy of this book and I give it to them and I say, it's up to you to read it. I'm not going to make you read it, but I'd love you to read it because the book identifies five different ways that people like to receive love. And here's what they are. Words of affirmation, and you'll relate to at least one of these. Maybe you'll relate to all of them. Some people like to receive words of affirmation. Some people like to receive love in the form of quality time. Some people like to receive love in the form of receiving gifts, and hopefully small ones, but receiving gifts. Some people resonate with receiving love in the form of acts of service, so surprise acts of service, of kindnesses done to them. And then the fifth way of receiving love and enjoying love is through physical touch. And what Gary Chapman focuses on is, For those people who are closest to us, what's important is that we get to know what their primary methods of receiving love or favorite ways of receiving love are, so that if they are different than what we like, so that we're maybe a little uncomfortable with them, not the words of Gary Chapman, my words, we just get over it. Because what's more important, say, for Tarina and me in our relationship, maybe what I prefer to receive are gifts, and what she prefers to receive is physical touch. And maybe I would say, yeah, well, you know, I'm just not into touching you and getting all touchy-feely like that. But you know what? If the person that I love the most on this earth, that just is an expression of love that means a lot to her, I need to learn to do that. Would you say amen? And so for those who are closest to us, if you've never read the book, and I've just given you a wee synopsis of it, but if you've never read the book and you'd like to know about expressing love in different ways, Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. When it comes to being abounding in loving kindness, love requires honesty. Love requires discipline. Love requires accountability. Love requires justice. But may I encourage myself and you that in our honesty that we are not brutally honest. We're just honest. And that we are kindly honest. That we don't need to be honest in a damaging sort of way, but rather that we would ever be honest in a gracious way. Disciplining with affirmation. Following through on our word, especially as parents, as well as in any relationship. Even when it's difficult, ever separating the person from the act. So that if there is bad behavior, that we don't lash out at the person, but rather we show love toward the person, but are very clear about the action that it is not acceptable, whatever it may be. If you're married, I urge you not to be afraid to show affection to your wife or your husband around your children. I know how they will respond many of the times anyway. Oh, please don't do that. But you know what? When they get older and they look back and they're old like perhaps you are now or I am now, or they're old like they think you are now, they will remember and go, I get it now. And am I ever thankful that my parents showed affection? May we be unafraid to show affection to our children. It is incredibly important for me. I don't keep a log or a diary of it, but it's incredibly important for me that I tell Tarina, that I tell Josiah every day, I love you. And while the words are repeated and said day after day after day, I want them to be true from my heart all the time. And I want it to be that I always say to them every day, I love you because I do. May we be unafraid. May we be not too self-conscious to do that. Because love and affection and relationship, they don't generally, when they go bad, they don't generally go bad just like that. They tend to erode slowly. And we need to guard against that and fight against that and fight for each other. Young people, children, don't be afraid to tell your parents that you love them as well. Even if you don't think they're cool, and even if you know they're not cool, still tell them that you love them. And so slow to anger, abounding in love in our relationships, and then finally, willing to forgive and willing and quick to apologize when we should. We go back to this text. This is what we hear from the Lord. As far as the east is from the west, the idea being that they are inseparable, that we will just continue, that they actually don't meet, even though we could suppose they do. But so far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us, he has forgiven. And he wants us similarly to forgive. Humility is about considering people to be as important as we are. We remember that, or we may remember that from our study of the book of Philippians, the letter to the Philippians, that we consider others even to be more important than we are. Pride and fear are two of the things that can keep us from communicating freely and honestly with the people who are to be the closest to us. We want to live with as few regrets as possible. And praise the Lord that the old is gone when we come to Christ and the new has come. And we live looking forward with Him. Some regrets we can't control, like what might have been. But the regrets that we can control are often those things that we can control by offering that sincere, heartfelt apology for something that we have done, that we can't undo, but that we can genuinely say, I'm sorry about. Words and phrases like, I love you. I want to pray with you. I bless you. You're good at that. You're awesome. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And I forgive you. Yesterday, I led a funeral of a wonderful woman who was 92 years old. She had lived a full life. Praise the Lord. And one of the things that I was so very happy to see at that funeral is that there was so much connection and unity and joy among the family members, because funerals, life celebrations, those are some of the times when the ugly starts to come up, because there may be family members who weren't invited to the service, or there may be family members who refused to go to the service because of some breakdown that has happened in relationship in the family. I want it to be with my family members. I want it to be with my spiritual brothers and sisters, that when those sorts of occasions come, that there is unity, that there is joy, that there is community, that there is restoration and there is forgiveness. God is the one who has perfectly exemplified, perfectly set that example of these characteristics for us. And so, like Him, on this Father's Day and always, I say thank you, Lord, for the example you've set. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us forgiveness, mercy, loving kindness, grace. Thank you, Lord, that you have shown us perfect love. And thank you, Lord, that you, while you have every right to be angry, you have shown to us great patience, slowness to anger, and speed to forgive those who are genuinely repentant. Amen to the goodness and the truth of God. May we live these things out. May we continue to draw on the strength and the reality and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us to be able to do that when sometimes we know we couldn't do it on our own. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. I'll invite the musicians to come forward at this time. Let's pray. Our heavenly God and Father, as was prayed or declared earlier, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, when I think of earthly kings and queens and monarchs and leaders and the power that is wielded, and I think of how difficult or in fact impossible it is for the average person to access those people because of their limitations and other circumstances. Yeah, Lord, I marvel that the Creator of all that is good, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, spiritually kneels down toward us and says, I desire to have a perfect family relationship with you. So, Lord, I pray that even if there be any among us today who don't know you as Father, don't know you as Savior, Lord Jesus, I pray that relationship with you would be cultivated and there would be a transformation and an understanding of what it is for Jesus to be Savior, what it is for God to be Father. And Lord, may we walk in that newness of life, that we would be mirrors, that we would be like facsimiles of you, showing the kind of love you've shown, showing the kind of forgiveness that you've shown, showing the kind of patience that you've shown. And we give you all the glory. Thank you, God, that you are Abba, Father. You are our daddy. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.